In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video CryptoCast series, where we review all 17 of the Max Fleischer Superman cartoons. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Lord of the Wasteland, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, a lover of cartoons, Morten Hoof.
So, that's the sound of an earthquake.
Electric Earthquake. Like, again, we spoke about the titles in this series, some more cool titles, and it's an obvious one, Electric Earthquake, and then it crumbles, you know, like that.
What?
They look like kind of like in Rock Face is the best way I can describe it. Oh. And then they like crumble and shit.
Yeah.
It's obvious, but it's just like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But what's interesting about this particular episode, we get an Indian. A guy who's very clearly an Indian as the bad guy.
Yeah, Native American.
Native American. And as soon as he popped up, I was like, oh no. Like, where are they going to... We watched the... Or we know what's coming up later in the series as far as racial stereotypes.
Mm.
I'm like, how bad is this going to be? And compared to what comes, what follows in the series, this one isn't as bad.
Well, there's nothing really bad about this one in terms of racial disparity and depiction and stuff like that. I mean, he's clearly a Native American, and they just kind of fall back on his motivational trope is that he wants to reclaim his homeland because he was stolen.
So all of America.
Well,
because I wasn't clear on that.
he just basically says that this is his land, and so I'm presuming he's just talking about Metropolis, which is just going to be analogous for America. But
I guess,
he just says, you know, this is my land. But what's kind of interesting and weird is that he demands the what's the newspaper?
The Daily Planet.
He demands that the Daily Planet evacuate the city. So I guess that he
warns people for some reason.
Yeah, but he said he gives the order to the Daily Planet. You're going to evacuate the city so we can have this land back. So apparently he thinks the Daily Planet is going to have the authority to do that.
So he wants the land back, but he sets up before this, like the episode opens with all the like underwater. There's like a bunch of like big, huge like wires and or something tubes or whatever hooked up to like pieces of land, like to explosives, like, you know, all around like the coast or something of Metropolis. So he wants to protect the land, but he's willing to destroy
it. He's not really there's nothing inherently that he says or anything like that makes me think he wants to protect it. He wants it back, and basically if he's not going to get it back, then no one can have it, kind of thing.
It's
I think it's important to bring up the intro and talk about it just a little bit, because this is actually the only thing I really care about in this episode. And then the villain intro, basically, because I guess technically he's a villain because he has a destructive plot, so he qualifies. But the intro is very cool because it's a little bit patient. It kind of just pans across the entire seafloor to give you see every piece of device that he's planted.
Yeah.
And then he's like, his lair is like an underwater teapot. And
I thought I have the same note written down. I'm like, this guy lives in a giant teapot.
Yeah, it's like an underwater teapot.
We're not exaggerating, folks. He literally lives in a teapot.
It opens up, and then he has like another sphere that goes up to the surface. So it's
like
really
an elevator.
Elaborate. Yeah, exactly. It's a little underwater elevator.
Yeah,
but it looks cool, and I think the intro of him exiting the sphere at the on the surface is cool. So I like the intro. I think it's a cool villain intro.
I thought it was interesting that when the inevitable happens, Lois ends up like getting into his lair somehow. I forget exactly how.
He just invites her, right?
Because he's like, I got a story for you.
He sneaks on his boat.
She does, that's
or
right.
She sneaks on his boat, and then when they get to the sphere that'll, or the yeah, the no, the cylinder that'll take him down. Then he's like, "Oh, hello, Miss Lane, or whatever. Do you want to see it so you can get the story of the lifetime?"
Yeah, that happens a lot too. Like, I got a story for you,
and then she hops down, and she's ready to get that story.
But what I thought was interesting was that he had a torture chair, presumably. It looked like a torture chair. I'm like, why does he have that?
Yeah, it's like,
it's like,
know,
I get that the, if no one can have it, if I can't have it, no one can. Or if my people can't, if it can't reclaim it, no one can have it. Whatever, fuck you. I'll blow everything up. But why have a torture chair? Like, yeah. What's the purpose of that?
It's like, it seems that everyone who is disposed to some type of evil or villainous behavior just automatically has these tendencies to build villainous traps as a part their lair. Yeah. Just like the scientist, what we saw before.
It's so weird. But what's even weirder, so this is the first instance, and this happens a few times, and I think it might be because I'm not quite sure, but I know at some point in this series, in the 17-episode series, the voice of Superman changes. Mm. And I have a feeling it's here, because typically Superman will say, this, like in a weak voice, this Clark voice, this looks like a job for Superman. This is the first instance where he goes,
this looks like a job for Superman.
Like, the way he delivers it is so unremarkable and so unenthused. I'm like, they couldn't do another line? Mm. Or, like, couldn't they just record one good saying of it and just reuse that every time?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, you heard it, too. Like, we both looked at each other like, what? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's just so, it's actually kind of depressing. Like,
this looks like a job for Superman.
He's just not into it anymore.
No, it's like, and there's only so, it's like, dude, you got 10 more episodes after this, like... I hate to break it to you, but there's going to be a lot more. Like, you better, you're only seven in. But anyway, another interesting thing about this episode, they refer to the island as Manhattan, not Metropolis.
Hmm,
at the end, they specifically point out Manhattan, and I'm like, I thought this was Metropolis. What the fuck? It didn't make any sense to me. It made me wonder, like, did they move or something? Like, they weren't in Metropolis? Like, Daily Planet is in Metropolis, but did they move or something, like, or take a riot? Like, I'm like, well, how is it suddenly Manhattan all of a sudden? Or is it a point where, like, the creators didn't give a shit? They're like, it looks like New York. It's New York, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of go out on a limb here and just say that the creators didn't care.
I don't think so.
So that's gonna be my suggestion.
Yeah, and then maybe someone reminded them in future installments that it's Metropolis, not Manhattan.
Or maybe they just realize their mistake when they're going on, and they don't even. It's not relevant.
Who knows the
story?
And in these shorts, it doesn't matter. It's,
no, it doesn't.
The fact that it's Metropolis doesn't matter at all. It doesn't have any bearings. Well, I don't know, but I guess. If the Native American was saying, like, Metropolis is ours, maybe that's different than Manhattan. I don't know. I don't think they knew or cared either. That's the point. But anywho. Yeah, pretty standard episode. Like, Superman ends up having to go down and, like, uncouple the... He like, yanks out all the tubes, mm-hmm. like, hooked up to the explosives, and then...
Isn't it this episode? I think it is, like, the the wire gets wrapped around his neck and drags him back down. Is this the same?
Yes. Way? And that was interesting, cool thing. Yeah, there were some cool visuals. Again, I like it anytime Superman's hair becomes visually disheveled because it looks like he's actually like, this is like an actual obstacle for him. Because usually nothing phases him. And it's kind of, it becomes uninteresting at a time because it's like, well, there's no obstacle really for him to overcome. It's so easy. But at this time, like, when you see him get strangled down and pulled down like that, and you see, like, air bubbles, like, that was one other thing I noticed about this episode. Like, they really did a good job of conveying, like, underwater movement and visuals. Like, yeah. So there's some cool visuals in this one. So this isn't a total, like, crappy time Fleischer Superman episodes. Like, I would even say, in ways, it's a little more interesting than the last one we watched, the telescope one, in ways. I don't know overall, but, like, it's not a total crap fest. Like, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone jumping into the Max Fleischer cartoons for the first time. Or I wouldn't recommend this as the first one to watch if you're jumping in.
Mm.
But, like, if you enjoy these, it's okay.
I would just put it on par with the magnetic telescope.
Yeah, I would say it's about the same.
Wow, 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 wow.
But that's going to do it for this installment. We'll be back next time with the Apocalypse Radio CryptoCast with Volcano. This looks like another job for Superman.
You know, Lois, the old island looks just as good as ever.
That's right, Clark. Thanks to Superman.